It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever and peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek, brought to you by the Rock Creek Free Press.
We're early this week. If you're hearing this, you learned it ahead of time, or else you're listening to the archive later on. The one-time special edition supersized show. That's what McDonald's would call it, at least, if they offered a great big version of a product. They'd be doing it in order to sell more, help some people increase their fat content, make money for their investors. They'd probably have gotten a special deal so the farmers who actually did the work, supplied the food, they'd get a little bit less money, not more. That's what big business is all about. That's what America is all about. Well, we have a different reason for our supersized show. Now, here it is. Last week, that Murphy guy, that one that, you know, makes all those laws we cringe from, you know, almost as much as we cringe from the laws that the government makes. Well, Murphy came down on the New American radio show with a vengeance. Or might have been her glory. I don't know. Maybe Murphy's female. That's probably politically incorrect. I'm glad I thought to say it. Anyway, last week I had some personal issues that made me miss the show entirely. That was the first thing to go wrong. I didn't figure I was so invaluable to the show it wouldn't work without me. But that's what happened. Well, really wasn't my absence that made anything else go wrong. Maybe we were lucky, actually, and all of our disasters all happened at the same time. We can go on unscathed now? I doubt it. Anyhow, coupled with a co-host failing to show up, a bad cable at the studio, guests and interviewers that couldn't hear each other. Finally, the show last week got cut off in the middle, aborted, done. Pretty exciting. You can't say we don't know how to have fun. But we've asked last week's guests to come back tonight and give us another try, and we're glad that you guys are here to listen. We're also glad to have back with us Sherwood Ross. He appeared here on March 3rd. Sherwood's agreed to join us for the first show of every month. We look forward to it. The extra guest slot tonight is for Sherwood is the reason we started 15 minutes early. It's just a one-time thing, not every month. Anybody tuning in at 7:45 Eastern Time, as usual, is going to find themselves in the middle of the news, probably. I've missed this brilliant introduction. Well, whatever, not so brilliant, but anyway, I talked enough. Here's my co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Nice to have you back again. Now, you tell me it's 70 degrees in Fort Lauderdale, and it was like 42 today in Duluth, and it was like summertime. It was awesome. Well, we're welcoming back Bill Black Olive, Rex Butters, and Sherwood Ross. So we're coming at you tonight from Coral Gables and Duluth and Fort Lauderdale and Vancouver, Southeast Texas and Southern California. And let's see, what the New American Dream, what is this all about? It's about becoming the country and the people we have always thought we were. It's about allowing everything to be open for discussion, including the moon landings, UFOs, Bigfoot, 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, the killings of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin King, Paul Wellstone. What about the recent Japanese nuclear disaster and the invasion of Libya? Our history shows that we cannot trust our major news organs or our government to tell us the truth. And that's basically why we're here tonight, why I'm sitting in the basement doing this, and why Chuck's doing this, and why Leno Sanic in Vancouver is doing this. because the most profound events in the history of mankind are the thus far successful lies about the involvement of the U.S. government in the attacks of September 11th, the faking of the moon landings, the CIA overthrows of governments around the world, the murders of JFK, RFK, MLK, Oklahoma City, Waco, the control of the media, the whole subversive takeover of the U.S. in the spirit of the Soviet Union. While unlike the people of the Soviet Union, we Americans believe we are free. Well, if someone lies to me, I'm going to question whatever else they say. And if they keep lying to me, I would be a fool to keep believing, wouldn't you say? Well, JFK, Martin King, RFK, and the Gulf of Tonkin, they lied about that. And my friends and I, back in 73, we would have gone to Vietnam. I'm sure we would. None of us questioned the government at that time. And we would have gone there and we would have killed and we would have died because of lies. And the moon landing, we came in from playing outside to stand in the living room and watch that on the black and white little TV. And we stood there sweating from having been running around, and we said, cool, and went back outside. Who would have ever thought to question whether it was true? Well, I would encourage you now to look on the online and see the press conference after the supposed moon landing with astronauts Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins. And they look so extremely subdued and guilty of something. And also, I would encourage you to listen to Bart Sobrell on Jim Fetzer's radio show, The Real Deal. Can you believe the Warren Commission? I mean, can you believe that it really happened and we didn't have riots because of it, lynch someone? But rather, we just say, oh, well, and so Bush fought the 9/11 Commission after 9/11, all the propaganda to promote the war, the terror alerts. Where'd those terror alerts go, I wonder? No elections, huh? The Osama bin Laden so-called tapes, the 9/11 Commission, and finally. And then we get such a supreme joke that was the 9/11 Commission report, and we settle for it. Building 7, controlled demolition. Where's the plane in the Pentagon? Where's the plane at Shanksville? Have you heard about the dancing Israelis? They go home on their own TV. They say, we were just there to document it. You were there to document it, and we don't question that. And still the Bushes ride in a golf cart down the third baseline, waving to the crowd. Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney walk free. Condoleezza Rice teaches at Stanford. Rather than being locked up forever in one of those high-tech concentration camps we have, like in Florence, Colorado, and shuffling off to the shower each morning wearing ankle shackles and a waist chain and fluorescent orange pajamas for the rest of their lives. If we're going to have those insane places, we might as well put the worst of the worst there. And that would be George and George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, and whatever other dozens have conspired, continue to conspire to overthrow this country. Who know the truth and don't tell the rest of us. FBI Director Mueller, General Tommy Franks, and all the other generals who acted as commentators on NPR and Fox, ensuring us that the covering war was so cool, so good, so right. And now we have how many hundreds of thousands of dead human beings in Iraq and Afghanistan? Just people who were living their lives and found themselves in the way of the American quest for gold, for dominance, and the thousands of young Americans who have died or had their lives ruined because of a lie, a huge, amazing lie perpetrated by men and women we asked in good faith to lead us on our way. In May, Frontline will show a documentary about the soldiers at Fort Carson, 17 of whom have been charged or convicted with murder and 36 have committed suicide since returning from Iraq. And the continuing charade of Guantanamo, and with the stealth candidate Obama, it continues. Bush, Obama, Card, Clinton, Fleischer, Wolfowitz, Ashcroft, Pearl, O'Reilly, Hannity, Couric, Lauer, Williams, Rather, Jennings, Brokaw, Limbaugh, Blitzer, Sawyer, Rivera. All those names who, if history ever writes itself, will be synonymous with Goebbels, Goering, and Himmler. Back when I was a kid growing up in Nebraska, we thought Lyndon Johnson was just a big, boring dude. Well, we all need to read LBJ, The Mastermind of JFK's Assassination by Philip K. Nelson. It turns out that the Vice President of the United States planned and carried through the murder of John F. Kennedy. Never in 100 years with my hometown newspaper, radio station, teachers, coaches, or parents have let us even consider such a thing. The term grassy knoll was said with the same sneer that liberal gets today. And even today, almost 50 years later, that seems like a bold statement. All the while, we pointed fingers at the Soviet Union, declaring them a closed society, and pointed back at ourselves, boasting forever of a free and open society when we are anything but, have been anything but. The ones who rule the Soviet Union, well, they have nothing on the ones who rule us. Yes, these successful lies are more profound than anything else in world history ever. It's just so very well done. It's who we are. Americans don't make cars, but we do. Killing machines and psyops like the Greeks did truth, philosophy, science, astronomy, and discovery. And so the most profound big thing about this big thing called America is that it is a highly successful lie. And you can say that's conspiracy tinfoil to think like that about the Bushes and the assassinations and such. But I say it's just paying attention. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek.
And now it's time for the news briefs.
Chuck and I do not, of course, believe that we actually have anything close to a real news report in these briefs, but we can only hope to highlight some events, persons we feel are important and not as widely known as we believe they should be. In the last couple of weeks in our briefs, we rushed through a list of imprisoned resistors, the list from the nuclear resistor, and I encourage you to go back and look at them online or in the hard copy. And also news of the sentences imposed on the Disarm Now plowshares in Tacoma, Washington. We think those are important and not widely known. And it's just very surprising, not surprising, just very wrong, that we don't know much about people like Carl Cabot, Jonah House, the plowshares action since the 1980s, Helen Woodson, this woman who has been in prison since the mid-1980s. I was at her trial in Kansas City, and she's been locked up. It was in 85, I think it was, and she's been locked up ever since, and I just think that's so unbelievable. And so here's something. Here's something that we think is important and not widely known. It's earth-shaking, earth-shattering, I believe, and yet largely ignored, like broccoli on the buffet. But it's oh so good for you. Give it a try. The Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth Midwest Tour is going on right now with Richard Gage. They started on Sunday, April 3rd. They were in Ames, Iowa, April 3rd. Tuesday, they were April 5th. They were in Wausau, Wisconsin. And tonight at 7 p.m., they'll be in University of Wisconsin-Madison, room 1121 in the Humanities Building. April 8th, they will be in Milwaukee in Centennial Hall, Milwaukee Public Library. That is at 7 p.m. Sunday, April 10th, they will be in Evanston, Illinois, 3 o'clock at the Hilton Garden Inn. Monday, April 11th, they will be at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster, Indiana. That's 7 p.m. And all these, I'm rushing through them, but you can find that on the A&E website. Tuesday, April 12th at 7 p.m. in Peoria, Illinois. Thursday, April 14th, 7 p.m., University of Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, 1890 Buford Avenue, the Continuing Education and Conference Center. April 16th in Kansas City, Missouri. April 18th in Southfield, Michigan at 7 p.m. at the Lawrence Technological University.
And that's the way it is. April 7th, 2011.
And now, for the third time, Rex Butters from Los Angeles. Rex, are you there?
I'm here, Mike. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. It's a little chilly and windy today outside.
What's chilly and windy like in Los Angeles?
You know, like 60 degrees, but the wind is unbelievably cold for this time of year.
Oh, man. Too bad. I feel bad for you.
Why, was it about 30 there?
No, it's 42. It's 42, and we're loving it.
Good, good, good.
Hey, tell me quick, what do you do, why do you do it, and why do you write?
Oh, wow. big question. In one second. I've always written, and I've been involved in writing poetry since I was like 11 or 12. It just came up. It just was something I started doing in journals and in notebooks. I didn't have a lot of say in it. And of course in school it was always so much easier because I could do, you know, so well on the essay questions, which people couldn't usually do. So it was a great way to write my way through school.
And you've kept at it, and you've had some success, and that's, you just can't beat that.
There's an urge an itch that has to be scratched. With the music writing, so much of the time it's, you know, hearing or seeing someone who's so extraordinary, who's so unknown, and I can't help myself. I got to get out there and scream at people, say, "Hey, get in here and listen to this guy." And it's kind of the same way with the poetry. It's kind of an act of witness a lot of times to write things down and that are just so extraordinary and so unbelievable. And you get the sense that in some way the record might be corrupted in the future. So you've got to get the facts down now. You know, you've got to get that accurate picture going.
Very good. Give us two of your unbelievable poems and tell us any background you want to give us too.
Okay. The first one, I'm going to start with the same one as last time in case, like me, your uplink got downloaded. And it's the new Pledge of Allegiance, so if the radio viewing audience could once again bend over and repeat after me. The elites educate you to stop thinking. The elites want you to believe what their media tells you. The elites want TV to be your reality. The elites want you to eat genetically altered, nutritionally empty, mutagenic food. The elites want you to suspect everyone but them. The elites encourage unspeakable violence as the norm. The elites fully support toothless artistic expression. The elites make every movie revolve around who has the gun. The elites make music suck by draining our lives of sacred spontaneous sound. The elites want poetry to rhyme all the time. The elites listen to your phone calls. The elites make you work three jobs, die young, burnt out, and broke, too busy to read or react. The elites hate women and children. The elites waste your limited resources for their profit. The elites will privatize your water after they fill it with toxic waste. The elites exploit impotent acts of radicalism to pacify your heart and mind. The elites bake you with radiation, laughing from the comfort of their lead-lined bunkers. The elites look you in the eye, take your children, molest them in airports, just to see you obey. The elites destroy community and culture by raising rents. The elites want you to shut up and stay home before a flickering light. The elites use their religions to kill your spirit. The elites throw out your votes. The elites want the truth marginalized. The elites want the truth sanitized. The elites want the truth institutionalized. The elites depend on you not believing me. So please take your seats once again. That's that. And for a little veja do, this never happened before, I'm going to read the a little thing for an old ex-president. We've had so many interesting presidents in this country. And this is for a recent one. If you were around in the 80s, you may have seen him. This is called Requiem for a Lightweight. His idiots grin everywhere. Phony orange skin tan and Shinola pompadour. He's dead. Labeled American optimist. Easy to be optimistic when you can't comprehend the catastrophes your cartel creates. When you rest, safely removed from dismembering machetes of cocaine contra commandos, the incoherent mumbling of gutter-bound, mentally ill, denied human treatment to fund corporate welfare, assisting the ascension of snake-handler Christian minority as dominant policy architects for the righteous majority, a lifetime of grinning denial for drunken dad, Reich's friendly fascist grandpa, invoking nostalgia for non-existent eras, empty-headed sap holding the vault door open for treasury-looting defense contractors and felonious cabinet members, arming Saddam and gun-flooded neighborhoods, powerful patron of plunderers, while assigning American school kids ketchup as a vegetable, voodoo economics, sanctioning greed as our national pastime. Hard times, hunger, and ruin still trickle down. Satan welcomes you with awe and admiration. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Rex. And I appreciate you. This is the third time we've tried to get this to work, and I think it worked very well this time.
Oh, good.
Hey, can you tell us, give us a little bit of news about what new projects you might have, or readings, or something? Give a plug to something you're doing?
Sure. I'm going to be reading the lyrics of Captain Beefheart at a event at Beyond Baroque here in Los Angeles. The Beefheart and Buñuel conference over at Beyond Baroque this Saturday at 7:30. And in a couple weeks, I'll be performing with Black Shoe Polish at Rumors in Culver City. And both of those have links. And aside from that, Google me. I come up.
Very good. Thank you again, Rex. And let's try this again soon, okay?
Oh, sure. And again, Mike, thank you, and thanks for the great work you're doing.
Well, you really, really appreciate your patience and hanging in there. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Yep.
And now a shout-out to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. See something, say something. What more inspiring words have ever been written? See something, say something. Well, think of Tom Paine, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mark Twain. We at the New American Dream want to do our part in protecting the homeland. We realize the folks frisking chunky people coming into hockey games and NASCAR races and those brave men and women on the front lines of the airport scanner, Maginot Line, need our support. So we're initiating program Neighborhood Watch. We know the FBI and CIA and local police are usually the ones bringing drugs into the USA from Central America. We know the FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. So we know it's the FBI, CIA, and local police we have to look out for. So if you see these government license plates in your neighborhood, call someone. If you see something, say something. Call a Walmart department manager, or maybe that guy that checks the IDs at the Eagles on Friday. There are a few license plates to watch out for. More as they come to us. G12-3472A, or WEBRNDWCO, WIIDIDOKC, WIIDID9/11, WIIKLTANAMA.
We are proud to be sponsored this evening by Killzone 4 PlayStation 3. Are you a gamer? Game this. Mary Tyler Moore and Lou Grant would wipe the floor with you, and they are 1,000 years old. You want to sit on your sofa and drink Hoochie Cola and get fat as your mom and pretend you're a badass until you have to get up and move your mom's car so your dad can get his into the garage and do whatever he does in the garage? Game on. Mary Tyler Moore and a million years old Lou Grant, if they were in your 3D big-ass special goggles, kick-ass camo dude special ops game where your mommy bought you so you wouldn't cry during supper, would wipe the camo Hunter's Orange floor with your fat Doritos ass, dude, because it's all about the heart. and all you got is your fat ass. PlayStation 3, Killzone 4, not available yet in Iowa. This program also sponsored by Los Dos, my spit and my urine springtime lager. It's what assholes drink, assholes who go out to eat and order a tap from the bar, that is. His mother looks like George Washington. She saves her beautiful mind for beautiful things. She does not care to bother with the suffering of others. His father helped to kill the most popular leader his country ever had. He escaped war by lying, but sent others to die. He lied to get into office. He attacked his own country. He now has nowhere to go but back to bed. He doesn't always drink beer, but when he does, he drinks Los Dos, my spit and my urine. Stay thirsty, my friend.
And now, from Aransas, Texas, Bill Black Olive. You know, when I first saw that Bill Black Olive was from Aransas, Texas, I thought it was a typo. I thought it had to be Arkansas, but no. Wild Bill is from Aransas. That's a county on the Gulf coast of Texas near Corpus Christi, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Bill Black Olive styles himself as an outlaw folk writer. His writing's really out there. I thought my co-host Mike Palachek was extreme, and then I read some of Bill's stuff. He makes Mike look mainstream. Bill's been around a few years. Spent time on the fringe of Berkeley in the 80s, and been doing his outlaw folk thing since 20 years before that. He's been called a rare and unappreciated treasure, and we're lucky that he's agreed to join us tonight. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show, Wild Bill Black Olive. Are you there, Bill?
Yeah. There's two towns. There's two towns. One is Port Aransas, and it is 7 miles away from Aransas Pass.
Ah.
I've grown up in both of these towns.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Port Aransas. It's right on the Gulf, and then there's Aransas Pass on the lagoon. In any case, there's two towns, Port Aransas
okay.
and Aransas Pass.
Well, thanks for straightening that up. Bill, you write about some pretty crazy people, crazy American people. What I've read was full of wild characters who were outlaws in the traditional sense, even. How'd you happen to end up with such a colorful view of America and the West?
Well, is this Chuck now?
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck. Okay. I guess you're referring to Emeryville War, but all of my life, my friends are weirdos. So those are the people I communicate with my whole life. I grew up with people like this. Some of them are still living here. And I've been around such folks in New York or Berkeley or whatever. Everywhere I go, I've lived in New Mexico a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I always have the weirdo friends, and they tend to be extreme. I mean, like, they're more than just being hippie. They're a little bit quite unusual, extraordinary people. Emeryville War, there's this person from Belgium, and he's an anarchist, as you can see, but he doesn't use the word. He just thinks he doesn't need any rules. You know, he's this eccentric inventor, and he is a kind man. He's not going to hurt anybody, but he fought this city hall of Emeryville, who had a murderous police force. So anyway, he's just one example. So he would take in all these other weirdos. Sometimes he'd put someone up for a while. Or, you know, he had this black friend who was a murderer. And then he had all these wayward women coming through. And he's just a nice guy. He put up people who needed to hang out, you know. So yeah. I get involved with such people. And as he was fighting City Hall, and they destroyed more than $1 million of his property, I became his spokesman. But that was one circumstance.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've had a number of weird friends myself, and some of them are the best people to be around that you could ever ask for. They really are.
Yeah. I'd like to say that the people I've been with have been rather radical. I mean, as opposed to flower children. I've been around flower children, but I tend to get hooked up more with the wilder people.
I tend more toward the flower children myself, but
that's fine, you know.
You know, when I read the Texas Gang.
Oh, you read parts of that?
Yeah, I took a look at that.
Did you manage to read?
Huh?
How much of that did you read off the web? There's a lot of typos in that. That's on that website, the Texas Gang website. There's a lot of typos, but that's a very involved work.
Yeah.
Did you read it all?
No, I didn't get all the way through yet.
Yeah. It's far out, ultra dimensional.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I started humming a Grateful Dead song as I was reading it. Me and My Uncle. Reminded me of that for some reason. Larger than life characters, you know.
Yeah. In that case, I took people I have known all my life, and I put us back 100 years.
Uh huh.
And so they're a bunch of weed smoking bank robbers. But
it was fun.
And violent men, but then they talk about it. You know, they get through a gunfight, and then they talk about life.
I
mean, these guys haven't killed people, but I had got into this psychedelic trip where I thought that 100 years ago we were together, and we, in fact, did kill people.
Huh.
So I did a novel off of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it let me get into all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah.
I've got everything in that book.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I can go back to it, and I'm still impressed.
It's quite something. Yeah.
I stuck it all in there.
Well, you know, our show here is about the new American dream. I don't know if you heard Mike and me talk about what we want.
Yeah, I've been listening to some of that.
What we'd like to see a lot of things change in America, and I'm sure you would too. What do you really want for America?
Well, like I was talking earlier, I would like to get through this truth barrier.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get through that, you know, it's so easy to understand that the government did 9/11. All you got to do is put it in front of a logical man's face. But U.S. citizens choose the illogic. They believe what they're told. And this is just, it's confounding. I can't understand how this keeps going on. But we are presently in danger of a police state. We're shifting into a police state. And we've got to break this truth barrier.
Are you sure we're not already there?
Well, I guess that's a matter of interpretation, but it's going to get worse.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
It's getting worse. You know, right now, citizens can disappear.
Yeah, they certainly can.
And most people don't care. They don't want to hear you talk about it.
Right.
But it can happen.
They don't want to admit that it might be possible.
Remarkable that... You know, it was clear that Kennedy was not killed by a lone gunman. That's been clear all these years. And what was remarkable to me, people had pretty well understood this, and then the last 10 years, all the goddamn people running TV shows begin to talk about Oswald being the killer. Now, how do you direct these people? How do you pay? You know, they're not being paid to do this. How do you get them to do this? Suddenly, all these guys running their talk shows refer to the lone gunman theory, and that was so preposterous. You know, the idiot shit, like a bullet found on a cot, and it's the pre-stained bullet, the bullet with no dents, the shiny bullet. You know, that is nuts, and yet people will believe this. And there's this video of Kennedy's head being knocked backwards, a shot from the front.
Uh-huh.
People can't believe their eyes. They believe what they're told. This is incredible. Then 9/11 comes along, and that's just fantastic. And most people don't even know there were three buildings that sank. One building never got its airplane. It sank anyway, of course. You know, this is fantastic. Well, what has been done to these citizens' minds? And I'll try to talk to someone. You know, some people get it. Some people get angry. I'll try to talk to some relative or someone, and they get angry.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's really
nuts. It is
nuts. This has to be broken. This has to be crashed through because we are in danger. We are in danger. I don't know what's coming up. You know, I don't know if they have to kill Obama or if Obama's just bought off or what, you know. I rather like the guy, personality-wise. I like seeing his family in the White House. So I don't know what to make of Obama. But reading this book of Kennedy, Kennedy was all alone, except for his brother and one or two people. Finally, he was all alone. It was remarkable. What?
He was alone. Indeed.
He had his brother and he had a couple of people. Then he was killed.
Yeah.
Well, Obama knows this could be done to him. Of course.
Yeah. And that's why he goes along with everything they say, right?
Huh?
That's why he goes along with everything they say, because he doesn't want to get killed.
Yeah, he's got children, and he's going to go along at this point, at least. But
sure.
if the public could be made to wake up somehow. Now, Jesse Ventura does a good job. You know, he runs through television, and he's one of the few people allowed to talk about it on TV by now.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson's not on a campaign like Ventura. But Ventura is so cool, he would just chuckle and laugh and throw out something and let the host stumble around and try to argue, and then he'll throw out something else, you know.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job, but we have to get even more radical, actually. Chuck, all kinds of people would just blow off Ventura that he's a weirdo, you know, or some dumb shit like this. They just, this non-thought, this chosen non-thought.
Right.
I cannot get over this.
I'm not even convinced. Yeah. I'm not even convinced that it's just America. It seems to me the corporations,
they're
global corporations, and they're putting these puppet leaders into every country in the world.
Yes, you know, I understand, maybe
we're ahead of that curve, or behind it, depending on how you look at it. But it's a worldwide thing.
Yes, I know that. There's another writer I've been wanting to read. I just keep reading book reviews and so on. His name is Scott Dale or Dale Scott. I forget. He's got three names, and I forget if Scott is his last name or what. But
it's Peter Dale
he's
Scott.
He's written a book. There's one called The War Machine.
Okay, Peter Dale Scott. They're telling me.
Pardon me.
Peter Dale Scott.
Yes. He calls this deep politics. And he's been writing this stuff for many years. I'd like to read his stuff. He ties in the drug movement, the CIA are drug runners, and he's been tying this in since the Kennedy assassination. He's got all kinds of information, so he's writing about this stuff. And I'll go to the web and pick up some of this, and you know I can pick around and figure what's real. But if you just Google CIA drug running, you run into some fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Such as this public broadcasting. I forget names. But here was John Kerry. In the 90s, complaining how we got to do something about the CIA running drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this popular station.
Well, look what they did to him.
He shut up.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't talk much anymore.
No, he sure doesn't. Well, Well,
it's
I'll
just
tell
amazing
you.
How these people, well, you know, you could, you just put the fear of God in these people, and then they go ahead because they just want to raise their families and retire. They don't have any guts.
Well, you know, I am very impressed. There's an amazing courage with the people who are willing to stand up long enough to either go to jail or get disappeared or get assassinated or whatever. It's an amazing thing. It takes, it's an active faith. But,
yeah, well, I tell you, our friend Mike is about as gutsy as it comes.
That's right. I know he is.
The book
sure
he's putting out,
too.
You know, one of his books is called Kill George Bush. Nobody else does this.
Yep.
He's fantastic. What he's doing, too bad he's not famous yet, but his stuff is as bold as it can be.
He's famous to me, right?
Huh?
He's famous to me and you.
I'm sorry?
I say he's famous to me and you.
Well, I want him to be more famous.
I do, too.
A few people.
Bill,
we're
gonna have to wrap things up here. But I've enjoyed visiting with you, and I hope you'll stop back again in a couple months and tell us some more. Maybe we can get you to read a little bit or something. We'll see what happens.
So I'll be right in touch with you. Of course, I'm emailing all the time with Mike, and he sent me his books, and so he and I are right in touch all the time, and I'll just
in
touch.
Stay in touch with me, too, please.
Sure, Chuck, I will.
And can you tell our listeners where they can find you online and all that?
Well, I have this broken-down website, but I don't know how to run it. First a friend did it, and then he died. And my daughter has kids and doesn't have much time to mess with it.
And maybe
it
I'll give
repair,
you a hand with
but,
that, Bill.
but I do have this TexasGang.com, and so people can see a lot of my stuff. This friend who died, he was my oldest friend. He went to a lot of work. And then he went a little crazy, and I guess some of my stuff was under repair or something, but some of it got wiped out, and my mother had a bunch of art there, and it got wiped out. And this oldest friend of mine, who was drinking a lot, but he died of cancer.
Uh-huh.
He was smoking and drinking. That's what he did all the time, and he died. So I have this website with a lot of my stuff, but there's a lot of errors and typos and so forth, you know. But anyway,
well, I'll tell you, I've been to the website and it's definitely worth a visit. So
yeah, well, thank you. I wish the hell I could get it fixed up a little better, but
okay.
But in any case, I'm always open to someone emailing me. And now, I can't even think of my email address, but textgang at cable1.net, TXGang at cable1.net is my email, and I'll talk to anybody. That's what I'm doing these days.
Okay.
You know, I get carried away and all.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay, I'll see
bye-bye
you.
Now.
Talk to you later. Adios.
Okay.
Chuck, in the spirit of the whole fair and balanced thing ethic of the United States media, we also wish to tell everyone about the New American Dream Red Phone. As much as we like to talk, we love to listen, especially to those brave men and women in uniform serving to protect us from big bees overseas in over 545 countries around the world, as well as those who protect us on the homeland front from big bees from Mexico. So we have open lines, and it's really only open to the free and the brave, the armies of one, and those being all that they can be. If you are one of those, we want to hear from you. And here's that number, 814-459-4599. And thank you for all you do. This phone's for you. And this portion of our program is brought to you by Powder Milk Gonads. gives Democrats the torpor to do what they've always done in the big yellow dog box. Heavens, they're pasty and felicitous. And available in bookstores Friday, it's Me, Myself, and I, the autobiography of America. And on all your favorite channels this week, are you smarter than the Border Patrol?
Those of you who listened to our show on March 3rd were lucky to hear our first interview with Sherwood Ross. We were so pleased with it, we've asked him to return once a month from here on. Sherwood lives in Coral Gables, and he spends his time these days writing and directing the anti-war news service. But for a long time, he focused on race relations. Sherwood is a defender of underdogs. Welcome back to the New American Dream radio show, Sherwood.
Well, I'm delighted, and my fellow underdogs, I think we should all be barking right now.
Woof, woof. Sherwood.
Woof, woof, indeed.
Sherwood, I warned you I was going to make you do the driving this time, so tell us what's on your mind.
Well, what is on my mind is that the human race is borrowing trouble that it doesn't need. In addition to all the needless, useless wars ravaging the world, you know, we've also lit a Promethean bonfire in Japan, and nuclear energy is the one form of energy that poses an existential threat to the human race. If an electric power plant went, there wouldn't be this kind of trouble. But when you have a nuclear plant blow or have a partial meltdown, and this may go on for months or years, we haven't begun to see the end of it. You have a lot of trouble. You are endangering millions of people. I mean, is it worth it? We ought to close down every nuclear power plant in America, as far as I can see. There's enough wind power in South Dakota, in two counties of South Dakota, which, if we were to harness it, could provide electricity for the entire United States. Those aren't my calculations. Those are the calculations of Dr. Helen Caldicott, who is an authority on nuclear power. So Americans, I don't think, have ever really realized the damage that nuclear power can do, and they rationalized their own bombing. We rationalized our bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So
I believe you have a poem. Yes, I was just going to ask you to do that.
Yeah, this poem is based on John Hersey's book, Hiroshima. I am the Reverend Kiyoshi Tanimoto, a graduate of Emory College, Atlanta, pastor of the Methodist Church of Hiroshima. I was in a western suburb when the bomb struck like a sheet of sunlight. Fearing for my wife and family, I ran back into the city, where I saw hundreds and hundreds fleeing, every one of them hurt in some way. The eyebrows of some were burned off, skin hung from their faces and hands. Some were vomiting as they walked. On some naked bodies, the burns had made patterns of the shapes of flowers transferred from their kimonos to human skin. Almost all had their heads bowed, looked straight ahead, were silent, and showed no expression whatever. Under many houses, I heard trapped people screaming, crying for help, but there were none to help, and the fire was coming. I came to a young woman holding her dead baby who pleaded with me to find her husband so he could see the baby one last time. There was nothing I could do but humor her. By accident, I ran into my own wife. Both she and our child were alive and well. For days I carried water and food to the wounded and the dying. I apologized to them. Forgive me, I said, for not sharing your burden. I am the Reverend Kiyoshi Tanimoto, pastor of the Methodist Church of Hiroshima. I was in a western suburb when the bomb struck like a sheet of sunlight. That's the poem.
That is a powerful poem, Sherwood. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for providing me this opportunity. I might add that the Reverend Kiyoshi Tanimoto became ill from radiation sickness, but he recovered, and he dedicated his life against nuclear energy. And I am frankly surprised that the Japanese public, having been afflicted with this crime against humanity that was called Hiroshima and Nagasaki, allowed nuclear plants to be erected in Japan. I'm really surprised about that. And now I think there are at least 160,000 people who have been evacuated from their homes, who wish that their elected representatives had not allowed the nuclear plants to be built.
I'm sure that's true. Tell me, Sherwood, today in America, the world, but let's talk about America, we have incredible problems of, you know, maybe becoming a police state. We have a corrupt leadership. Is this normal growing pains or dying throes? Are we in the end times, or is this something else? What do you think's going on?
Well, I think we're in the middle of not the American dream, but the American nightmare. The American dream says that the average guy or gal can work hard in America and become prosperous and lead a good life. But that's not all there is to America. You know, we have to be judged not on whether we're a democracy at home, but also on whether we're a tyranny abroad. And by and large, we've been a tyranny since World War II. Victory in World War II is one of the worst things, I believe, that ever happened to America because we didn't learn from it. The first thing we did is we borrowed the German rocket scientists that Hitler used to bombard London, which, of course, brought them to the United States and gave us a lead in rocket science. And we borrowed the Japanese biological warfare team that created hideous experiments on the Chinese people during World War II. And we brought them to the United States. And we developed huge nuclear atomic facilities with tens of thousands of atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs. I mean, this stuff is plain crazy. Nobody needs it. And if you dropped one of them somewhere, the radiation from the blast, you know, would endanger much of the planet. And we provided support for Israel's nuclear facilities. So Israel has 200 bombs. And now we're worried about Pakistan, whether those bombs are going to fall into the hands of zealots, for people we describe as zealots who might use them against America. Harry Truman made a terrible decision to drop the nuclear bomb. I mean, that he made a number of bad decisions during his administration. Another was the National Security Act of 1947, which created the Central Intelligence Agency. But this nuclear precedent which he established has caused the world immense suffering, and President Eisenhower, I don't think it was deliberate, but he created an Atoms for Peace program. And that has brought terrible suffering to the people of the world. It's not just the arms race between America and the then Soviet Union. It was also on the domestic front, harnessing nuclear energy when we have no place to put the spent nuclear fuels. The spent nuclear fuels from these plants may not be disposed of for hundreds of thousands of years. That's not an exaggeration either. Helen Caldicott said that it might be 240,000 years before these nuclear radioactive rods ever become safe. And she's also pointed out that mining to get the uranium in the first place is perilous, and that when the uranium was mined in the American West by Navajo Indians, one in five of the miners have died or have been stricken by lung cancer. These are on the Navajo and Pueblo tribal lands. So they're dying, and they continue to die, and thousands of Navajos are still affected by uranium-induced cancers, called the cop rights. So what happens if you cannot put out? I mean, just the mining of the uranium itself is dangerous. And then the manufacture, turning it into fuel to heat water, which is ridiculous when there are so many other alternative methods, is dangerous. It didn't take a tsunami at Three Mile Island to have a meltdown there. And right. I don't know that it's generally known, but thousands of people in the Harrisburg area near Three Mile Island have settled suits with the operators of the Three Mile Island plant. And they were suffering from radiation-like sickness. So at every level, at the stage of extracting the ores, at the stage of operating the plants, at the stage of storing the spent nuclear fuels, and we have no place really to send them. Maybe we could blast them out into outer space, but the people in Utah aren't going to have it. They don't want it in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So at every step of the way, the nuclear promise has turned into a nuclear nightmare. And the quicker we close down these nuclear plants in the United States, I believe we have 104 of them, some within 35 miles of New York City. What happens if one of them blows? What happens if an operator makes a mistake? It doesn't take an earthquake to destroy a nuclear plant.
Yeah. Well, I think there's one about 35 miles north of me and another one about 40 or 50 miles south of me. So I'm in prime position for that. You know, when I lived in Pennsylvania, in Felton, Pennsylvania, which is south of Harrisburg some years back, there was a big thing about testing for radon poisoning. Everybody thought that radon was causing a big problem in the area. I'm wondering now, you know, these years later, I can look back, I wonder if it was actually radiation from Three Mile Island that was the reason that people were doing all this testing that was supposed to have been for radon gas.
Well, I can't answer that question because I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a rhetorical question.
I don't know the answer, but I think listeners is more knowledgeable than we are.
Yeah.
Should call in.
I hope they'll write to us and tell us the answer. Sherwood, I think we're going to have to wrap things up again. And I look forward to visiting with you again next month. And I hope we'll be doing this for a long time.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you so much. And to your listeners, you're listening to a great station.
Thanks, Sherwood.
Well, it's been a long week, Chuck, in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Everyone has a story. Everyone deserves to have a boxed feature story with a 10-inch photo done on them in the Wednesday Miracle. Behind each of those Venetian blinds pulled tight shut is a Babe Ruth story, just like I read in the second grade, a story of heroism and pain and struggle, of courage and cowardice, wit and pain. Everyone deserves a little glory, a little understanding, but it's only a weekly paper.
This is John from the underground, looking out at you from some basement window of a house in Mount Liberty. It's not a home without children, without someone to share it with. Just a house. They call me John the Baptist because they've seen me micturating on the flowers around town at night. I can't stand you. The sight of you, the thought of you, the very concept of you. I had a remote control of my own. I saw your effing ass driving down the road at 5 miles an hour without another moving vehicle in sight. I'd point and click and blow your careful ass to holy hell. Hey, how's it going? Hot enough for you? Goddamn right I would. There are those in America who knew this wasn't the land of the free and the home of the brave long before Abu Ghraib. Those people are the poor, the prisoner, the activist, the immigrant. Anyone who's found himself face to face with the real ugly face of America, the judge, the guard, the policeman, the soldier. You know, though, you can make most people believe anything. They'll swallow the star-spangled banner with their Wheaties. They'll believe they'll burn in hell for eating fish on Friday or not entering the building on the corner at least once every Sunday. Tell them there's this place called Purgatory. Tell them they live in a democracy. Everyone in a crowd of rich people in Washington, D.C. has their very own personal best interests on index cards taped to their bathroom mirrors. Tell them we went to the moon once, never went back. CIA works for them, and the peace dividend when Russia folded, well, it didn't quite work out, but we tried. We definitely tried. Tell them the war on drugs is vital to their lives, too, while you're at it. Make sure you get the drugs out of the closet for nap time at 10. You can tell them a million and one things. They'll believe it. America, there isn't one born every minute. It's more like every second, something like that. Those are drone airplanes at those towers. The real ones are at the bottom of the ocean along with all the passengers. Where's my CBS Christmas special? The American people ever wake up? I wonder. I don't think so, really. Even the poor Americans have their flags waving from the coat hanger antenna that's duct taped to the side of the trailer. If there was any amount of real religion spoken in any of these jillion churches, if the newspaper reporters actually wanted to find something out, the lies and the rich and the corrupt couldn't stand up to that tidal wave. But the churches and the reporters are just a dribble. No more, and I leak on myself after I think I'm done peeing in the war memorial flowers after dark. Back in the 60s, we really thought things were possible. Civil rights, stop war, war on poverty. What else you got? Bring it on, mofo! Somebody got smart and killed Martin and the Kennedys. That was that. You seen the photos of all those black people lining the tracks when Bobby's body was brought back? That meant something. It those folks felt something. Just standing there said it. Now it's more like nothing's possible. But stop war? Stop poverty? Free the prisoners? Woodstock Nation? You gotta be kidding me, fool. I go to work at 7, mow the lawn when I get home. When I got time to stop poverty? Okay. Underground. I was underground in the parlance of the 60s. You didn't know that, did you? You didn't care, I know. The Weather Underground. SDS, those guys. Black Panthers on CBS News, blowing up buildings in Madison, Wisconsin, getting murders by FBI pre-dawn raids. You know, that wasn't me, but I heard about it. I got locked in my grandparents' basement, blowing things up, blowing people up. I thought about it. I thought about Gandhi, Berrigan. I've also thought about Jesus and Che, Castro, the Sandinistas, Sitting Bull, and Paul Revere. I wonder what Paul Revere did after he woke everybody up. I wonder if that was a fast horse he was on. He'd go back and shoot and get shot? Maybe he walked down the middle of the road with his hands held up, asking everybody not to kill each other. Or maybe he just kept going, got a good job at Sears. I don't know. I was a senior in high school, found some warm schlitz in my grandfather downstairs woodshop, turned up the radio, drank it, thought about why Mary Frances Dunwoody wouldn't talk to me. Got dark. I couldn't find my way to the door. They were gone over somebody's house. I sat there on their dirt floor under the canned goods, listening to Chopin and the Cardinals game. I didn't think about Castro or Gandhi the whole night. I just dreamed in the dark about Mary Kynesasser and wondered what my parents were going to say in the morning. When I woke up, I found the door, walked outside in about 30 seconds. It took an hour to walk home. Told my dad all about Che and the Black Panthers and how I was hiding out from the government all night long. He just looked at me. He could probably still smell a beer. That's about it. I was going to tell you now about jail, if you cared. Got my master's and doctorate in American studies from jail. Yale was my Cornell and Yale and Ohio State and Columbia. As if you cared, you slow-driving, tax-paying, lawn-mowing American. That's going to have to wait. Time for me to water the zinnias.
That's the news from Mount Liberty, Nebraska, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the journalists are about average.
And now our profiles in heart. To those who've given or are still giving their heart and soul, helping us all have a better world, our thanks for caring. And remember, Mr. Byron does not teach American history in room 203 at 10 a.m. in Sheboygan. He didn't yesterday. He won't tomorrow or never. Mr. Byron doesn't know anything about American history. He does not want to. And that's why he's been there for 33 years. If any of these names are not familiar, give them a Google search. Again, our thanks.
Anime Aquash.
John Judge.
Donna Marsh O'Connor.
Richard Gage.
Stephen Jones.
David Ray Griffin.
Jim Garrison.
Ralph Nader.
Cynthia McKinney.
Karen Silkwood.
John Ross.
I'd like to thank the Rock Creek Free Press for bringing us to you this show to you tonight, and also worldnewstrust.com, who host some of our many websites. We have the radio show website at theshow.newamericandream.info, and you can find all of Mike's books from there. And also our other website at www.newamericandream.net. Join us again next week. Same time, same place. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Ken Lay. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
disaster and a debacle. And if any of y'all have been watching public access and seen the footage, which was not shown on any major news media source, of the tanks, Bradley tanks, shooting fire into the compound, which I think went against the party line story, which was that they shot tear gas in order to help the mothers and the children to get out, to convince them while they're destroying the compound, they're getting the mom and children out. The soft sell is definitely the FBI's way. And anyway, so the major news said that the Branch Davidians started the fire. If I'm not mistaken, correct me when I go off the story here. And that the Branch Davidians started the fire, and all they did was shoot in tear gas. And yet I've seen with my own eyes and my squeegee third eye footage of a Bradley tank shooting fire into the compound, which, isn't that odd that no major news source has picked up on that? How do you think that's newsworthy? Because that basically means that the government, from the FBI, the ATF, up to Janet Reno, including Clinton, are liars and murderers. And wait, there's more. And, I mean, the implications are vast. You know, and if the ATF and FBI had any honor, if there was any honor left or dignity on this planet, they would commit Harry Caray while first admitting what they've done. They'd kill themselves because they are liars and murderers.
Yeah.
Oh, we had to bust the compound down because we heard child molestation was going on. Yeah, if that's true, how come we don't see Bradley tanks knocking down Catholic churches? I'm talking if child molestation is actually your concern. Well, there's a methamphetamine lab on the thing. No, there wasn't. And not one child came out of there saying they were molested. Not one child. They don't want the voice of reason spoken, folks, because otherwise we'd be free, and otherwise we wouldn't believe their fucking horseshit lies, nor the fucking propaganda machine, the mainstream media, and buy their horseshit products that we don't fucking need and become a third world consumer fucking plantation, which is what we're becoming. Fuck them. They're liars and murderers. All governments are liars and murderers. And I am now Jesus. Now.
And this is my compound.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C. until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.